Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? I'm finding something about this whole thought of what we sang a couple of songs ago, that this great God is continuing to resurrect us. It doesn't mean that we didn't have the death, the burial, the resurrection in our lives when we came to Jesus. But I'm finding that the victory comes when I continue to die to self, to die to pride, to die to my sin, to die to the things of this life that just continue to keep me down, continue to keep me away from the things of God. And I'm just so grateful for the resurrection power of Jesus. And I just want to say this before I pray. Is there something that you need to die to today? Is there something that you need to lay down today? Because I'm going to tell you, the power of the resurrection is not just for when you began to believe and you were born again, but it is so sufficient and it's so applicable right now, right here in your life, that if I would die to this thing, God would resurrect something very, very powerful in my life. And every one of us who know that we've walked like that and we walk that way, that when we died to the thing, when we died to the offense, when we died to the sorrow, when we died to the things done to us, said to us, when we died to the things that even have brought on guilt and have brought on shame in our own lives, when we died, we were resurrected in that moment. And that stuff was buried. And you got to walk in a new glory. You got to walk in the resurrecting power of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you need to die to today? What is this something that you need to die to in your flesh, in your heart? Something that has kept you yoked to the things of this world, or yoked to the stuff of the world, or yoked to anger, or yoked to lust, or yoked to pride, or yoked to disappointment. Listen, we can die to that today and find the resurrection power in that moment, in that life. This is what it means to move from glory to glory, to be conformed into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What do you need to die to? You may not have to die to anything today. But what is it that God might be calling you to lay down? Father God, I want to come before you. I want to thank you so much that this is what the Beatitudes is all about. That, Lord, we were poor in spirit. We were at the bottom. And yet we saw our bankruptcy. We saw our spiritual need. And we literally cried out to you in mourning. And you came and you comforted us. And I want to thank you for that today. And the Lord, as we move through this next beatitude, to walk in this joy, to walk in this blessedness, as we come, Lord, to hear the word, blessed are the peacemakers, for they and only they shall be called the children of God. That we would truly understand, Lord, what you have called us to when you called us to Jesus. God, I want to thank you for this word. I want to ask in Jesus' name that it would wash, that it would sanctify, that God, it would bless us today, and that we'd move from this place more like Jesus, Lord, more like you, to reflect your light and to be salt in this world. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. As I just alluded to in the prayer, when you came to Jesus, you came with a brokenness, you came with a sinfulness, you came with a spiritual destitution and a poverty of spirit. It's the only way that you can come to Jesus. You got to recognize your own sin, your sinfulness. And what Jesus is speaking at in this, what we call just the manifesto of the King in the beginning of this Sermon on the Mount, is listen, you're blessed when you realize you're poor in spirit, because from nothing you get everything. You get the kingdom of God. And then we've moved through this the last several weeks, where you mourn and get comfort. When you are changed and become gentle, you inherit the earth. When you hunger and thirst now for righteousness, you get a true, happy satisfaction. And then blessed are the merciful. When you give mercy, you receive mercy. Last week we looked at the pure in heart, and the pure in heart see God. And now blessed are the peacemakers, for they and only they shall be called the children of God. Let me just say it this way. The children of God are peacemakers. Did you hear that? When you came to Jesus, this is where you're headed to. You're headed to a ministry, we'll see in just a moment, of reconciliation. You've been reconciled, you have peace with God, and now you become a peacemaker. You make peace. The very thought of this beatitude, the very thought of this principle of peacemaking has with it this thought that in the world there's tribulation and conflict. And when we walk in the world and we look at the world, we see the absence of peace. Peace of heart, peace of mind, peace in life. And I don't think there's anywhere, any time in our history that we've seen that right now, right here in our world. Is that right? I mean, people are walking in fear and worry and anxiety. There's this lack of peace that God said, listen, I've given it to you when I reconciled you to me. You got peace. This world is chaotic. This world is chaos. And I'm going to tell you, you're either moving toward a life that brings chaos with it, or you're bringing peace with it. And I want to tell you this, I want to say this again, the children of God are peacemakers. This is what God calls you as a child of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they and only they shall be called the children of God. I like to think of it in this term. We get born again, and we get born again into the family of God, right? And who's our father? We find it in Isaiah about Jesus. You know, he's the counselor, the great counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the eternal father. He's the what? The Prince of Peace. And we got under the authority as a spiritual family, as a spiritual son and daughter of God, under the authority of Father God. And all of a sudden, in some form, in some fashion, by the miracle work of God, he began transforming us so that we might get into the family business. And that's the business of making peace. Amen. What do you think evangelism is? What do you think missions is? It's about bringing and making peace in this world. Bringing peace of mind and heart to people in your life, and then also sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, because the only way that you can ever, ever have peace is through Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you will never have the peace of God. And you will never, ever be able to walk that out in such a way that you're bringing peace to the people around you. Peace, calm, a security, a safety. You know, you often heard folks, you know, that you just say they're just not safe to be around, you know. And I'm not talking about somebody that's going to be, you know, pulling out a knife and stabbing you. I mean, really, that's just, you know, that's obvious. But there's some people in your lives, in past lives, they're just not safe people. And you know what I mean. They may not pull out a blade or a gun, but their words sure can be a knife. Their words sure can be a bullet. Their words can be damaging, and they're just not safe. And instead of bringing peace, they bring chaos. See it all the time. See it all the time in ministry. See it in marriages that are struggling and hurting, that where somehow, some way, we're just not cultivating the peace of God in our lives that God has designed from the very beginning that we should walk in. On Wednesday nights, we've been doing a series on the basics. The last 2 weeks, we talked about this great salvation that we have. And the whole point of salvation is where God comes in our sin and in our darkness, and he brings us to him, and he breaks down the divider wall, and then we become one. You know, that's what peace is. Peace is being at one again, okay? That's what it means. You look it up in a concordance. Being at one again. Being one again. And it has the idea and the thought of being one with God. To be set at one again. Implying that we were at odds with God, separated, stripped apart. And this peace means that I've been brought back together with God. There's a great, the Greek word, and also the Old Testament word. The Old Testament word is shalom. It means to be safe, to be free from emotional chaos, to be secure, healthy, prospering, at ease, and fruitful. Can you imagine that? I mean, when we talk about the shalom peace of God, we are a people who are at ease in Christ. Now, I'm not talking about being at ease in Zion when you're walking the way you want to walk. I'm talking about a peace that surpasses all understanding of what's going on in my life and what's going on in my world. And I want to tell you, it's a supernatural peace that you cannot conjure up. It is something that comes from the throne room of God. Peace. You know, Christian peace, when you go to the New Testament, it's kind of the same thing. And I'm just going to read this to you, this definition. It's the tranquil state of your soul, so assured of your salvation through Christ that you fear nothing from God and you find yourselves always content with your earthly lot, whatever sort that is that might find you in. It's a life set on the Spirit of God. And I'm going to tell you, it's what we're all looking for. Peace, not division. It's peace, and it is only found in Christ. I'm not talking about having a disagreement about something. I'm not talking about agreeing on everything in this life. But I'm talking about when you have that, that there is this overwhelming peace with God and with your brother in Christ or your sister in Christ. There's this overarching thought that the peace of God and agreeing on who He is and who we are in Christ, I want to tell you, trumps everything else in this life. It's the peace of God. You know, I think about how oftentimes in many people's lives, how elusive peace can be. And I don't know if you've been going through anything that's been traumatic or hard or difficult, where just the enemy is coming just time after time to bring the chaos back into your life. And I want to tell you, you know this and I know that. That's not the road you want to go along. That's not the road that you want to move to. Because you know the road that leads to life is a life of absolute total peace in Jesus. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about direction. That God wants you and me to walk in peace. Because of the very nature of who God is and who we were without Him. Now, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 19, if you would. Luke chapter 19. And I want us to look at this story or this Luke 19, verse 41. And that's, so this is a story of the triumphal entry of Jesus. And he's coming into Jerusalem he's going to do some teaching, but he's coming into Jerusalem for his final days to go to the cross. And you remember, he was put on a donkey and he's approaching the city. And so when he approaches Jerusalem, he sees the city in verse 41 and he weeps over it. And I want you to notice what he says. He says, "If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace." If you are in Christ Jesus, you have the scriptures of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit to teach you the things that make for peace. You know in your heart, by the Word of God, what you need to do and how you need to believe and what you need to live to bring peace, for instance, to your marriage. Listen, this is the whole thought of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives according to 1 John chapter 2, where Jesus says you have anointing that teaches you about all things. And I want to tell you, Jesus is saying, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace. For 3 years, he's been speaking peace. He's been speaking life. He's been healing folks' hearts and souls and bodies. For 3 years, he's been teaching the principles of God's Word and Scripture. I mean, we're looking at this right now, this very moment. These principles, these things which make for peace. And you have, what he is saying is listen, you've rejected it. You've rejected my way to get peace. You've rejected me. You've rejected my word. And now he says, they have been hidden from your eyes. Verse 43. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side. And they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave you in one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. I mean, it's really obvious, isn't it, when you read the New Testament and Jesus came, that there were people who rejected the message of God. And when they reject the message of God, you reject the peace of God. And Jerusalem will fall, and the temple will fall, and the temple will be destroyed in just a few years. And when all he's saying is, I'm weeping over you because I wanted to gather you like a chick under the wings, like chicks under hen's wings. I wanted to give you this peace, and I've been teaching you and I've been preaching you the way to peace. But you didn't want to have anything of it. You were done. I've often seen that in relationships. Done. And if you're in Christ right now, right here, you have the power, the ability of the Holy Spirit of God to walk in the ways that make for peace. Do you know the ways that make for peace? I want you to move from this passage, and I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want us to look at this marvelous passage of Scripture that speak of this reconciliation and this peace that God has come to place in our hearts. And this is what the gospel is all about. This is what happens when we come to Jesus by faith in Christ Jesus for what he's done in our lives. Chapter 5, and we're going to start in 16, okay? I want you to notice what he says. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come. Do you see the things that make for peace? Do you see what he's saying here? Listen, he's saying, listen, these old things, when you get to Jesus, when you come to Jesus, these old things, they pass away. And now God gives you new things. I love what it says in a literal way, when he says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Well, watch this. The old things, they're gone. They're done. They're passed away. Okay. And then he says it this way, in a tense in the Greek language, and now he says, behold, new things have come, and you can just translate this way, have come and are coming and will continue to come the rest of your life and into eternity. This is the new life, folks. It's the new life of Christ. The old's passed away. The way we operated, the way we lived, the way we responded, the way we reacted, the way we did life. The way we did our parenting, the way we did our marriage, those things are gone because I'm a new creation in Christ. And the nature of my man, the old man, the Scripture talks about, the nature of my flesh, I no longer walk according to that. I walk according to the Spirit of God. And as I walk according to the Spirit of God, and I've got this new nature, I say, listen, the old way is not the way to walk it out. And it's amazing to me because some believers still walk the old way out. This is not a message on marriage, and I know some of you aren't married, and you know, a lot of folks over here aren't married, you know, in this section. But I just give this illustration because in every kind of relationship, we all know by how the flesh destroys relationships. All right? Some of you have seen that in your homes. And let me just tell you, tit for tat is an old way. Not a new way. You hear what I'm saying? Taking up an offense and mulling over it and living it and bathing in it and eating in it, that's the old way. It's not going to get you any peace. Walking in anger is not going to give you the peace of God in your life. Listen, it just doesn't work. Do you know what the Bible says? A gentle answer turns away wrath. That's the new way, to give a gentle answer. But you as believers and me as a believer sometimes, we don't do that. We get harsh when we're supposed to be gentle. Forgiving when we're supposed to be unforgiving when we're supposed to be forgiving. Walking in the peace and bringing the peace. You know, I don't know if you've ever had somebody come up to you and tell them what's wrong with you. Have you ever had that? Man, what's wrong with you? And they ask the question and they answer it. Right? What's wrong with you? Well, let me tell you what's wrong with you. And they'll give you what's wrong with you. And the question is, am I going to do new creature way or old creature way? Right? Does old creature way work? Old creature way don't work. It makes it worse. So what happens is he says, listen, I've given you the way for peace. And it's all in the new nature of Jesus. Listen, the Bible calls it the divine nature of God that's in your life. And it's a new way of thinking, and it's a new way of living, and it's a new way of acting, and it's a new way of responding. How many of you have been in just a broken relationship and that the way you talk to each other, it just escalated it. It just escalated. It just escalated it. It escalated. And I'm just going to tell you what the way to peace, the way to peace and an escalating of peace is to do it God's way. So instead of being offended, I listen. I hear. I'm asking, what is it that this person is saying that is really true in my life? And instead of offense, and instead of being of getting my feelings hurt, I want to say, oh my gosh, is that in me? Is that in me? Am I blind to some things here? And I'm listening, and I'm listening to the Spirit of God, and then I'm walking in a response that is holy and that is godly, that turns away the wrath, and it turns away the stuff, and it turns away the junk that causes escalation in the first place. We have a new way, folks, because we have a new nature. And that new nature is empowered with the grace of God, the mercy of God, the gift of God, the Spirit of God. You can keep naming it the blood of God, the blood of Jesus. It's empowered to respond the way God designed us to respond in the first place. We've got a new nature. It's divine. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things are coming. I love what this thought moves on to say, that now all these things are the way of peace. It's the old stuff that's passed away. It's the new things that are coming. And all these new things are from God. Now watch, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of peacemaking. Now I don't have enough time to go through this whole passage, so I'm just going to move through these things that make for peace, and then next week we're going to talk about being children of God who bring peace and how we do that. But I think just getting this whole thought of what peace is and how we walk in it is very, very, very important. God reconciled you. Look at Romans chapter 5 for just a moment, and as you're turning to Romans chapter 5, I want you to think about Colossians 1:21, okay, up on the screen. I want you to notice what he says. Colossians chapter 1, he says, although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Go back to 21 for just a moment, verse 21. Although you were this, you were formerly alienated. The whole part of Christian salvation is that you were alienated from God, and you were alienated from God's people. And you were hostile in mind, you were engaged in wrong behavior and wrong deeds, and then verse 22, but yet now he has reconciled you, he has made peace with you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. You know, I think about holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. That sounds pretty good for you, for your spouse, doesn't it? It sounds pretty good for you. Holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. We look at words like that and we say, that's just totally impossible. And we give up. And I want to tell you, if you're going to look at your nature, your old nature, it is impossible. But this is the standard of God. This is the standard of holiness. This is the standard of God's power, that you might be holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Look, you were once alienated, hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. But now he's done this awesome work of peace in your life so that you can now be holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. Crowd noise. It's the promise of the scripture. But somehow we lose sight of that, and we're just not believing that, especially in the heat of our moments. I've got a new nature. It's in Christ. I'm no longer hostile to God, and therefore I will no longer walk in this hostility with you. And I will do everything I can to make peace with you in my heart and right now, right here. And that's my closest person in my life, which is my wife, John Ann. And then it is my farthest, who might be an enemy that I don't even know about. But I'm going to do everything I can to be at peace with you. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, no matter how bad it is. And you know, this whole thought is that he reconciled you. Now, what he did was he died on the cross for you. He bears your sins and he bears your sorrows on his body. He sheds his blood to redeem you, to forgive you, to justify you, and to sanctify you and to save you. And then you believe that what he did for you. And I want to tell you, what happens is a transaction happens and a transformation happens and an exchange happens. And that's what reconciliation is. It's an exchange. He makes you right so that you can have peace with him, so that you can be at one again. And it's through the cross and it's through the blood of Jesus. And what I love about it, it's not just for when you were 8. It's when you're 28 and you're struggling with your husband. Or you're 35 and you've lost your job and you don't know what's next. Or if you're 45, 50, and you're going through a crisis and now you're struggling with your wife or your husband. Or you're struggling with something in church, or you're struggling with a parent, or you're struggling with just fill in the blank. This peace, this reconciliation is for you right now, right here, so that you're not a mess in your mind and heart. You're not a mess. You've got it together in Jesus Christ. How many of you are messes this week? Don't raise your hand. But some of you have been messes this week. And you've been responding to the trials and the troubles of life with the mess instead of with the peace that God comes to give you because he reconciled you to himself. You know, I'm not going to read Romans chapter 5. Don't have the time to do that, but I hope that you will read it. But I just want to tell you basically what he says is, listen, while you were a sinner and while you were ungodly and while you were living your own way and while you were walking after the things of this world, our great God, Jesus Christ, died for you to change you. So you're no longer godless. You're ungodly. You're no longer an enemy, the scripture says. You are now at peace with our great God. Reconciliation means you're at peace. I don't think I have to really define reconciliation for you. I mean, you're in a relationship. It's hard. One of you got hurt. It escalated. And all of a sudden, now you're not talking to one another. And you've gone 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years not talking to one another. And then all of a sudden, you made a move. And that person responded. And you began to walk it out and work it out. And you began to take responsibility for your part in the mess. And all of a sudden, that person did. And all of a sudden, after 5 years, you've reconciled. And you're at peace again with one another. And you're at one. And that's what Jesus did for us. Separated. No peace. And Jesus came and died that we might have peace and that we might be a part of making peace. These old things, they're passed away. The new things have come. And you know, here's the question. How do I experience that in my life on a regular basis? How do I experience peace so that I can make peace? You know, I love that. I love the way the New Testament says it. It's really peacemaker is really the only time this Greek word is ever used in Scripture. And when you break it down, it has two words. And the two words are peace and make. Okay? Peacemakers. I love it because it's not just peace bringers. Is that a word? Peace bringers. Okay? None of the English teachers said no, so I guess it could be a word, right? Not just a peace bringer. Watch this. A peacemaker. That's what you and I have the power for as children of God. Because do you agree that Jesus is the peacemaker, Prince of Peace? And we've read Sunday in 1 John that his seed abides in you. And therefore, the seed of Jesus is in me. And so I am a peacemaker. I'm a reconciler. I've been reconciled with God, and I can bring Jesus and give the message to you and to me. We'll look a little bit more at that next week. But all of a sudden, I've got peace with God, and that peace with God overflows to all the other things that are going on in our lives. Now, I got a confession to make. I can often get in a place where I can't find that peace. Okay. So I'm making that confession to you as someone preaching this, but sometimes in my seasons of life, I have a hard time living this. By nature, I am a worrier, okay? By nature, I like all the ducks to be in a row, okay? By my nature, if there's something going on, I have a propensity to worry about it and lose my peace, okay? That's just me. I don't know about you. But for me, as your pastor, I have a struggle when I'm in the middle of something with finding the peace. It is an elusive fruit, folks. But you and I can walk in it. Does that mean I never find it? No, I eventually find it. Sometimes sooner than later. And sorry, sometimes later than sooner, okay? But ultimately, I'm a child of God. And I find the peace. And the thing that is so sad about it is, after 50-something years of walking with Jesus, that it still can be so elusive because the Prince of Peace is living in my life. And sometimes I just forget that. And sometimes God has to say, I'm here. And I got to hear him say, I'm in the middle of your life, and I'm in the middle of this situation, and I'm in the middle of it. Calm down, son. I'm here. Calm down. I'm on my throne. And I'm on the throne of your life. And I am Wonderful Counselor. And I am Mighty God. And I am Eternal Father. And I am the Prince of Peace. And guess what? I'm your Prince of Peace. It's what we love about the personal Savior peace. My personal Savior. He's your personal Prince of Peace. And it's always available. It's always, always available. So I want to finish these last few minutes and talk to you just real briefly about how we experience constant peace. And the first one is you've got to have your mind on the Spirit of God. Okay? Romans 8:6, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set, watch, on the Spirit is life and peace. And how many times when I'm going through the chaos and I'm going through the worry and I'm going through the anxiety that my mind's not set on the Spirit of God, but it's on flesh. And all of a sudden, I'm living the death. I'm living amongst the dead of warriors and anxious people and folks that are just stressed and all the time. And the reason why is because my mind is not set on things above, but on earth. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. You say, well, how do you do that? How do you find that? What does it mean to be set your mind on the Spirit? Well, first of all, I've got to have something change and switch in my mind that takes me, and this, I'm going to just tell you, this is how it works for me. It may not work for you this way, but this is how it works for me when I finally get to it. God, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to get my mind off this, and I'm going to get it on you. And the first thing I'm going to do right now is I'm going to thank you for what's going on in my life. There's power in thank you. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then I've got this little exercise. And not only do I thank you for it, but I'm declaring that you are Lord over it. You're Lord. You're sovereign. Now, there's just something about confessing it, folks. It's just something about it coming out of your mouth and not just thinking it. You are Lord over this. You're the God, like we saw Wednesday night, that causes all these things to work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And then we read on and find out what that purpose is. But God, you're Lord over this. Thank you for it. Oh, by the way, when you thank God for something or thank God in something that's bad, it doesn't mean you have to like it. So there's been times that I've said, God, I don't like this, but I thank you. I thank you for this season right now. And I don't know, something about thank you, I don't know, it just kind of elicits the move of God and the grace of God and the power of God in that moment. And then it begins to cause me to see all the things that I am thankful and grateful for. Amen. And then, Lord, you're Lord over this. You're Lord over this conflict. Third thing I'm asking is, God, I just want to love well through this. Because I know when I'm a nervous wreck, I don't love well. I know that when I'm worrying, I'm going all of this stuff, I don't love well. I'm not attentive to the people around me. I've got this stuff on my mind all the time, and I'm not loving well. I'm not loving great. I'm not loving big. I'm not doing it. So, but God, I want to love well. And then God, watch this. I want to be led by your Spirit in this. Because that's the second thing. Set your mind on the Spirit of God. And the second thing is walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, walk by the Spirit and you'll never ever carry out the desire of the flesh. And then he goes on in 22 and he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and what? Peace. When I walk by the Spirit, this fruit comes forth from my life. And I'm just walking by the Spirit is just being obedient to what the Spirit of God's saying to me. And that's why you've got to hear it through God's Word and through the moment where God speaks to you in your pain, in your conflict, in the things that are happening in your life. Peace. Set your mind on the peace, on the Spirit, and then walk by the Spirit. And then the third thing is, do this. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, okay? Philippians chapter 4, 4 through 7. All right, notice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Can I ask you a question? What is your definition of always? Always. I mean, I like to say this. Do you know what that word means in the Greek? Always. Always means always. Not 50% of the time, not 85% of the time, not 95% of the time, not 99% of the time. But always rejoice in the Lord. What am I doing? I am rejoicing in how he reconciled me, how he gave me peace. I'm rejoicing in his sovereign work in my life. I'm rejoicing because I remember the last time I went through it, he got me through it, and I didn't have to be a mess through it. And so I rejoice in the Lord always. Good, bad, ugly, beautiful, I'm rejoicing in Jesus. Because if you're a believer in Christ, you always have something to believe, to rejoice in. You just always do. So I'm going to choose to rejoice. So always rejoice. Be calm, be happy. And he says it again, I say rejoice. And then he says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Listen, we talked about this, the gentle spirit. The gentle spirit always prevails. You inherit the earth, he says. And so instead of being harsh, I'm going to walk in a gentleness here. And I'm not going to let this thing get me so worked up that all of a sudden I'm sinning. And I'm sinning against you. And I got to understand that God is near. He's right here. He's right here in my heart. And I want to confess that. And then I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to pray about what's going on. And I'm going to decide to stop being anxious. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, I'm going to let my requests be made known to God. And I often say, isn't that just a novel idea to pray about it? But really, a lot of us in here, that's the third, fourth, fifth, sixth response. I'm going to pray about this. Because you know why you know that? Because you've spent the first, second, third, and fourth worrying about it. Concentrating on it.
We are peacemakers. We've got the peace of God, and we get to, by the power of the Spirit of God, make peace. And I can do that in my heart, in my mind, in the moment. So I pray about everything, and I thank God for everything. And then he says this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, watch this, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. You just look at the peace of God as the sentries of God, S-E-E-N-T-R-I-E-S, those set guard over my heart and over my mind, because that's where the battle is. And then finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, right, whatever is pure, lovely, whatever is good repute, if there's any excellence and if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Get your mind off that stuff and put it on, like Pat, you said in elders this morning, and put it on noble things, the noble things of God. This is not an impossibility, folks. And if you're in Jesus, I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying it's simple. I have a strategy to get my mind out of the mess. And he's found in Jesus. But I want you to close, I want to close with this, because there's one more thing that Paul says. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. When you look at Paul's story and how he was beaten, how he was thrown in prison, how he was stoned, how he had people coming after him day in and day night, day in, day out, how they came to him to destroy him and destroy the message of Christ. And you know what he's saying to him? I want you to remember how I responded. Some of you got to see it. Some of you got to hear about it. And he says it. He says, what you've seen, practice these things. And all I'm saying is, what this is, it's saintly behavior. That's all it is. Saintly behavior. The way saints are supposed to live. The way the saints of God, not sinners of God, you are saints of the living God, children of God. You're no longer defined in God's economy as a sinner. Oh, you sin, but you're no longer defined that way. You're defined as a saint. And this is Paul saying, watch my behavior. Learn what I did in that prison cell in Philippi when we got beaten and thrown into the dungeon. What did we do at midnight? We sang praises and worshiped our great God. That's what you saw in me. That's what you heard in me. Can you imagine, you know, the Philippian jailer, he came to Christ, remember? He's writing to the Philippian jailer. Hey, guys, remember how I responded. You know why I love that? Because if the chief sinner can be so transformed to say, follow my example, so can you and me. Set your mind on the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Do these things right here. I remember one time I was going through something. This is a long time ago. And all I was doing, I was memorizing this, and I memorized it, and I memorized it, and I was quoting, and I was quoting, and I was quoting, and I was still a nervous wreck, and still a nervous wreck. And it just felt like God just kind of knocked on my shoulder and said, hey, quit quoting it and start doing it. Quit quoting it and start doing it. It's the power of God to see peace come into your life so that you can be a peacemaker for the glory of God. Amen. All right. Hey, Perez has come up here for just a second, okay? Y'all thought we all were going to be away from... Y'all didn't think this was going to happen today, but this is David and Brenda Perez, and they come to be a part, officially come to be a part of our body today, and I want you to get to know them. You guys have already captured our hearts in so many ways, and we're just so grateful, even the short time that you've been here. You have two children. One's Joel and one is Olivia, but Olivia is affectionately known as Gums. And everybody knows her as Gums. And there's a story behind that. I'll let you tell him about that. But Olivia and Joel, and they come to say, we want to be officially a part of our body, of this body, Cottonwood. And if you rejoice with me in them coming, would you say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. I'm really looking forward to the days ahead. Just already the connections that we've had and shared over the last several weeks has been awesome. I know that you've done ministry before and you're already helping Chance, and we just really have had a long time relationship with Chance, and I'm just really, really grateful for that. And I'm just glad y'all are here. I pray that we'd be the church you need in this season of your life, and that you'd be what we need in this season of church life. And who knows, maybe you'll grow old here. I hope that, okay? Don't you? Amen, amen. Hey, let's stand. I'm going to pray for them, and then I'm going to bless you, and then be dismissed. And they're going to head out, and they're going to be in the foyer. Catch them, okay? And give them an elbow if you feel comfortable, a hug, or just whatever they will receive from you today, okay? So let me pray for you guys. Lord, I want to thank you so much for the Perez's today, and I want to ask that your Holy Spirit would just rest upon them right now, right here. And as they become a part of our, officially become a part of our body, I ask in Jesus' name that we'd truly be the church you've called us to be for. I pray, God, that in these days they would find great life, they would find just great refreshing, that God, that just in the newness of getting connected with our people and connected with you, that your Spirit would just move in their lives. And I just want to thank you for the richness of their lives, the richness of their faith. And I just know it already is contagious, and I'm just so grateful for them. And God, I just ask, as we just talked, that we would truly be the church that we've called to be for them. I pray that we would be able to love one another to the places God's called us to be. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you. The Lord be gracious to you, make his face shine upon you. And may you have the peace, the shalom that we've just been talking about for the last 40 minutes. May you have that peace on your life right now, right here. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Y'all follow me.